The book of Hebrews chapter 3. Let's read verses beginning with verse number 12. The third chapter of the book of Hebrews. And you've probably noticed it if you're in the adult classes that that's been the teaching. And just in this class today, Brother Bright, just a wonderful anointing upon him and upon that ministry of the Word of God. And it always ministers to me and encourages me. And he lets the Lord use him. And Hebrews has been a lot of the study in recent weeks. But let's read these verses. The third chapter of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Now, when you read about the things that happened to the children of Israel, and to me, it is one of the saddest parts of the Old Testament story of the children of Israel, that great massive group of people who went through all that they went through and finally came up to the promised land. I mean, they're ready to march in. But because of their unbelief, they miss out on the wonderful, wonderful promised land. Amen. Because of their unbelief, they turned around. They didn't trust God. It was only Joshua and Caleb who said, We're well able to go up. And they were strong in faith. But that whole generation died in the wilderness and never realized the promise of God. Now, I want to live in the promises of God. I want to enjoy the benefit of the promises of God. And I think that one of the ways that we need to be reminded that we can do that is just to stay with the basics of God's Word. Just stay with the things that we have known and the things that have been proven, things that we know have been tried and true. Stay with the basics of God's Word. Amen. Just stay with the truth. And honestly, you can't improve upon the tried and the proven. You just cannot. And I know everybody has their opinions about different things, and that's fine. But I've been around church and around the things of God a lot of years, and I see a lot of the things that are on the horizon in the church today. And I just look and observe. I know that not all of it. I know that God has a remnant of people in a lot of different places, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm not passing judgment on anything that God is doing in places, but I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that we can enjoy the blessings of the tried and the true, the proven. It's a dangerous thing to step outside of things that are not true and not proven, that are not really the Word of God. And a lot of people who talk about new revelations and new things, let me tell you, the success in your spiritual life is not always in pursuit of some new thing. It's really not. A lot of people think, and I know there's a generation today that they kind of feel like, most of the younger generation in ministry today, they would call me old school. You're old school. And many of you would fall in that same category. Old school. That's the way that we do things. But you know, I noticed in the Word of God that there were those that were in Athens, and the Apostle Paul was grieved over the fact that that place was full of idols. And one of the things that he noticed about them is they spent their days looking for some new thing. Acts 17:21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. If you're looking for or waiting on some new revelation, you're going to be disappointed. Now, I understand that God can bring, He brings His Word to life. And I don't mean that it's stale or dead. I don't want that. But I want the tried and the true. I want the proven. I want the Word of God that I have seen by example. I have seen that it works in the lives of people, and it produces the results in the lives of people, because it's the real thing. It's the real move of God. It's the real truth of God's Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, for those who think that they're going to come up with some new thing, the Word of God says, really, that's not going to happen. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, the thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. You know, I've had times where I have read and studied, and I've come up with something, and I thought, wow, this is a message I've got, and this is just something fresh, and it's just brand new, and nobody, only to find out later on that somebody else has preached that, and that's been a theme preached 30, 40, 50 years ago or longer ago. You're not going to come up with some new thing. Sure, you need a fresh touch of God and a revelation from the Lord. But stay with the tried and the true. I spend a lot of my time, especially lately, doing at the station what we call voice tracking. And that means on a computer, we go in and we are able to record the comments about a previous song and introduce the next song. And we go and we do that, and it takes about 30, 40 seconds to do that one, and then you've hit the button, you go to the next song. Go to the next song. I even had a person come in here one time into the service on Sunday morning, a visitor, and said, how do you do this? How do you stay up all night long? I heard you on the radio at 4 this morning. But what this voice tracking allows us to do is to record all of this, and it sounds just like you are there, but you're not there. But you're able to pre-record all of those little tracks, and they're inserted between the songs. And a lot of times, even in the middle of the day, if you'll listen to the radio station, you hear Leland making a little comment or something, he's probably off doing something else. He's pre-recorded that early in the morning. And a lot of the times, he's not actually doing it live. He gets it all done so he can mess around, I guess, the rest of the day. I don't know. I think that's probably true. Now, how did I get off on this? Something new. That's it. The songs. I listen to songs, at least the introduction of a song and the outro of a song. I listen to them, especially since Arlene's been down, hundreds of songs. Hundreds and hundreds, just little excerpts of songs. And I have to tell you, there are a lot of songs that are good, and there are a lot of songs that are fine, and there's some songs that are wonderful. Amen. And a lot of times I'll catch myself flipping through, doing my tracks, and stop because some song has caught my attention. And I'll have to wait till that song plays through, and because it just, it's good, it's beautiful, it's ministering, it's speaking to me through the ministry of a song. And it's not always a new song. That doesn't mean that new songs are bad, but many times a lot of the songs that have lyrics that really, really have been born out of revival and have been born out of a move of God, some of them, they may be decades old. Some of them might even be 100 or 200 years old, but sometimes they will grab your attention because they have such depth of meaning and really have a powerful message. Now, I said that to illustrate that this is the thought that's on my heart here tonight, is that we stay with the tried and the true, we stay with the proven. Amen. And that we're not always looking for some new thing, some new idea, some new way to do things, but we understand that God's word is true and we need to remain true to it. Amen. And that's what the writer in Hebrews is describing here. He said, take heed, be warned, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And how do you know that you have this evil heart of unbelief? It says, you depart from God. You move away from the things of God. That heart, that evil heart of unbelief causes you to back away from the things of God. You depart from God. Your relationship with God is not what it has been, and it needs to be restored and renewed, and you need to get back into fellowship with the Lord. And the warning here is, beware, take heed, lest you allow your heart to be deceived and you move away from God and from your relationship with God. And so verse 13, it says, exhort one another daily. Now, that was the pattern of the first century church. It wasn't Sunday morning, night, and Wednesday night. It was every day. Every day. They came together at the hour of prayer. They came together and they broke bread. They were in fellowship continuously. Now, it wasn't one big party, but it was an opportunity for them on a daily basis to do what the writer is encouraging us to do. Exhort one another daily. Bless and encourage one another daily. Amen. Honestly, I've been around the church and around the ministry long enough that I've witnessed people just doing wonderful on Sunday night, just shouting the praises of God, and by Wednesday night, they're dragging bottom. They have hit head on with all kinds of trouble and challenges, and in 3 days, they need help. And they need an encouraging word. They need to be lifted up and to be encouraged. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, it's important just to stay with it and to stay at it. There's a lot to be said for consistency. Amen. There's a lot to be said for someone that's just not only consistent, but persistent. They just stay at it. And even though they don't feel like it, and they don't feel spiritual, and they don't feel victory, they just stay right in their place of duty. They're always to be counted on. They're always going to be in that place. Amen. Glory to God. How do you do that? Well, it's as simple as the basics. It's as simple as the basics that I learned when I was just a kid in church. Sometimes it was just in that little song we sang as a kid. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. That's how simple that really it is. Just staying at it, being faithful to God, and being faithful to the things of God. And it starts, I believe, in your relationship with God, and that it has to do with the Word of God and with prayer. Those are basic things, but sad to say, in many cases, they are neglected. They are forsaken. The Bible is neglected in the lives of a lot of people. And we need to take more time with the Word. We need to spend more time with God and in his presence. Psalm 119, verse 30. The entrance of thy words giveth light, as the word of God makes its entrance into your life, into your mind, into your spirit, then illumination comes and light comes and God speaks to you and he reveals himself to you through the power of his word. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So what about the Bible? Read it? Yes. Read it. Study it. Take time with the word of God. And I can remember my mom was, she is like a, you know, she's a rigid person as far as what she believes. And but she's consistent. She stays right at it. And she reads her Bible at a particular time. And she prays at a particular time. But I remember as a young person, I can remember her with her little commentary down and her little Strong's Concordance down at the table. And she was writing notes. And she wasn't just reading the Bible. She was studying the Bible. She was spending some time trying to understand and asking the Lord to reveal himself through his word to her. So take some time with God and with his word. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Another word is personalize it, which just means apply it to your own life. Just make it real and begin to apply it to your life. Now, these are basic things that most Christians know about and know that they should do. But quite frankly, a lot of Christians are neglecting the Bible. Amen. How do I know? Well, you can tell by people's conversations that they don't talk about God. They don't talk about the Word of God. They're not involved in it. They're talking about other things. And many of those things are not necessarily worldly or sinful things. They're just not important. And we've taken some of the things that we could classify. There's nothing wrong with this. This is good. We've taken that and we've exchanged it for the best things. Things like God's word. Amen. I encourage you to stay consistent and stay with the tried and true. Stay with the word of God. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. There is redemptive power in the Word of God. Amen. This is not a dead book. This is a living book. This is a book that can speak to you tonight. It can speak to you tomorrow. And whatever you face, whatever circumstances that come your way, God's Word has answers and help and a solution if you'll search the Scriptures. Those were more noble in Berea. Those Bereans were more noble, the Scripture says, because they searched the Scripture to see whether those things were so. They got into the Word of God. They spent time in the Word of God. It has redemptive power. It can save your soul. It can do a work in your life. It can come alive to you. Amen. And I have honestly, there have been times when I have gone through some dark and difficult circumstance, and there would just be a few words of a verse of Scripture that I'd gotten a hold of, and that just carried me for days. And I'd keep repeating that in my mind, that word of God. When you go through dark and trying times, don't attempt to make it without God's word. Amen. His word has redemptive powers. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. What a mistake that we make, because we're around the things of God, the Word of God. We're around church. We're in Sunday school. We're in service after service after service. And we have the Bible in our hands. And we hear it. We hear it. We hear it. We hear it. But we don't put it into practice in our life. It doesn't become alive to us. It doesn't become a reality to us. Oh, God, help us to get back to the basics. As simple as this is here tonight, that we need to stay with the tried and the true, with the proven, the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. When you do that, the scripture says, you become the person that's deceived. You become the person that is deceived. And so the word of God has power to protect you from deceptive tricks and lies and the attacks of the enemy to try to come in and take control. You see, whenever you spend time reading, studying, meditating on the word of the Lord, it becomes an important part of your thought process. You're thinking about it a lot when you read it and you study it. And so it becomes a protection to you. You become very sensitive, very keenly aware of anything that is error or false. In error or false. Because you've filled up your heart and your mind with the truth of God's word. So it preserves you and it protects you from deception. And oh, how needed that is in the days that we're living in right now. So many deceptive lies that are flying around. We need to stay with the truth that has been tried and proven. James 1 and 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now you have to think in context on this, because we have mirrors everywhere. Marcia has the best mirror that you can imagine in the hallway. This big, long mirror. It's why she has so many sewing customers. They come and they try their clothes on and they step in front of her mirror, and that mirror will take 20 pounds off of you. It will. You stand in front of that mirror and you're thinking, wow, I'm looking pretty good. we have lots of mirrors, but in this time, no. And so what he's describing is someone who has the occasion to stand in front of a looking glass of some sort, but then maybe not for a while. And as a result, they forget what they saw. And he's comparing that to the word of God, the word of the Lord that is like a mirror that reveals who you are. It shows you who you are. Amen. Amen. And so the Lord, he provides his word for us to keep us from falling into deception. He provides his word for us because it has redemptive powers, the ability to save us and to keep us and to preserve our lives. Amen. Thank God for his word. Amen. Amen. Our girls will sometimes we'll get around them and they will break out into song, singing little scriptures that we taught them when they were home. And we learned, you know, to help them memorize verses, to turn them into songs. And so we did that on a lot of the Psalms. And just recently, I forget what was going on, but Mandy had a little problem and she just come right out with this verse. It was really strange. Really, but it was something that was in the back of her memory. It was the word of God that was planted in her mind. The Bible has power, amen, to influence our lives and to affect our life. So let's stay with the basics, the word of God. Don't reject it or deny it or fail to take advantage of the Bible. Amen. And then prayer. Prayer really is the expression of your dependence upon God. It's your talking to God. It's your fellowship with him. Do you know that if you have a friend that's really a friend, you will talk to that person? If they're really your friend, then you may not be able to have a conversation with them real often, but what's interesting, you may not see them for a long time and you see them again. And it's like you've never lost time. You just go right back into fellowship, right back into talking about things that you're so familiar with. That's the way our relationship with God needs to be. That it's we talk to God, we trust God, we depend upon the Lord, we ask Him, we spend time with the Lord, we have private prayer, we have corporate prayer, we have united prayer with the body of Christ and with other believers. And this is just basics, isn't it? Just the Word of God and prayer. And really the only other thing is just the application of it, just obeying it. Just doing what He has told you to do. Walking the talk. Keeping at it. Staying at it. Being faithful to God. Being faithful to the Word of God. Amen. And there you'll find strength and stability in a world that's gone crazy around us. I mean, moving in so many directions away from the Lord. But it's the Bible, God's Word, that keeps you grounded. It keeps you steady. It causes you to be able to face the challenges of these days. The Word of God and prayer. Amen. You know, one of the biggest battles that I think every Christian faces is just staying at it. Just staying faithful at it. Amen. Just doing what we need to do. On Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, that we're just daily pressing in and walking with the Lord and not lax and not careless. But their sin was a sin of unbelief. That's what it says in our text here in Hebrews. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Amen. Just stay at it and be diligent and be faithful and be consistent. And don't allow anything to cause you to swerve away or to turn away. Hold faith and confidence in the Lord, in His Word, in prayer, in fellowship, and obedience to the things of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, some might call you old school, but I just want to encourage you. Stay with the tried and the true. Stay with that's proven. Be consistent. Stay faithful to God. And that will keep you preserved and protected from a lot of the things that are going on in this world around us. The children of Israel, that entire generation, their hearts were full of unbelief. They turned back and they lost out on all the promises of God. They died in the wilderness. The text here says their carcasses in the wilderness. Died and fell in the wilderness because they turned away from the faith, turned away from their confidence in God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, everybody. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Lord, that You have provided for us Your Word. Truth. And Lord, outside of it, there is no other truth. And Lord, help us to build our lives on a daily basis in Your Word and in truth. Hallelujah. Lord, spending our days every day, Lord, pressing in faithfully, consistently, spending time in Your presence, spending time in prayer, spending time in Your Word. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Instead of looking for some new revelation, Lord, help us just to stay with the tried and the true. Get in the Word of God and believe it for what it is. Make it real and alive to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord.